right, we've been walking now since January. We're back to the basics. We took the very basics of your faith and your spiritual walk with God, and we have been very progressive, step by step. We've unpacked all who God is. We've taken the Trinity apart. We've looked at salvation from every angle. Now we've looked at every aspect of your walk with Christ. We've talked about how that God expects us to grow as believers, that God expects us to be godly. And the last 2 weeks, we've talked about spiritual warfare and how He wants us to learn how to deal with sin His way and not our way. Well, we want to take that next step today. And let me just kind of throw this out. Put your defenses down. Nobody's going to be shamed or made to feel bad, but I want us just to be open and honest and real with each other. This is one of those areas of your walk with God and with my walk with God that we really don't think is a really big deal. As a believer, it's kind of okay if I do and okay if I don't. I mean, if you find out as we begin this study that maybe this week you've been involved in none of this, has it bothered you this week? Probably not. And so I really want us to say, God, I need to hear from you because I want to honor you with every part of my spiritual life. And it's all about sharing, all about telling people about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know what? For some reason, we think that God expects that for some people, and He really doesn't mean for me. I mean, you know, that's not my personality. You know what? I'm out of that age group, you know, somehow or another. You get into the retirement age, and nothing applies to retirement people anymore. But if you're young, I'm so involved in my family and raising my kids, I don't have time, and we are full of excuses. Is it really that big a deal that I'm supposed to be sharing with other people about my faith? Well, it's a huge deal. It is an absolute huge deal. I want you to walk away from here with two things this morning. And here's the first one. It's God's purpose for your life as a believer for you to share about your faith. Think about this. That's the reason that God didn't take you to heaven the minute that you gave your life to Christ. He could have raptured us the minute that we said, God, I want you to come inside my heart. God, I surrender my life to you. Zoop! Whether it was at Bible school or camp or church service, whatever. But why did He leave us here? He left us here to use us in the lives of other people. But yet, as long as we are very self-centered, as long as we're inward focused, we have the attitude like, you know what? That's your responsibility. You know what? If you want a relationship with God, that's your deal. You know, I'm not really involved in that, and that is not the truth. I want us to walk back to the very first believers, the very first disciples that Jesus called to Him. It was very plain. There was no bait and switch. It wasn't something that just kind of developed over time. I want to look at several passages of Scripture in the New Testament. Let's look in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, at the very first disciples that Jesus called. Chapter 1, verse 17, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and maybe you will become fishers of men. Right? If you follow me, you can become a fisher of men if you want to. Maybe if you're real outgoing, if you've got one of these very outward personalities, this will really fit you. Huh? Follow me on Sundays. Now, I know you're busy during the week, but if you will just do the worship thing on Sundays, I think everything will be all right. He said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. If you follow, I'm going to make you a fisher. What does it mean? He was speaking to fishermen. That's why I use this fishing terminology here. And he says, you know what? If you will surrender your life to me, if you will follow me, one of the things that I'm going to do in changing your life, I'm going to make you, I'm going to use you to be a fisher of men, to invest in people. I want you to be involved in bringing people to a personal relationship with Almighty God, just like you're involved as fishermen as to bringing fish into your boat. There was no choice. There was no opinion. It was kind of automatic, wasn't it? If you follow, I will make. I wonder what that says if I look inside my life and I'm not investing in anybody. I wonder what it says about my spiritual life if I look inside my life and I'm not telling anybody about my faith. What does it say about my spiritual life if I am not investing in other people? If I follow, he'll make me a fisher. If I'm not fishing, am I following? Or am I just fooling myself? For the whole 3 years of Jesus' ministry, he went all through Israel and he was teaching people about heaven. He was teaching people about eternal life. He was teaching people about who God was, who God is, and teaching them how they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the people that came and followed him, he taught them to teach others those very same things. We could stand here and just turn page after page and go all the way through the Gospels and look at story after story of this person bringing his brother. Andrew going and finding Peter and saying, Peter, we found the Messiah. Of the friends letting their friend down through the roof so that he could be healed, so that he could meet Jesus. It's full of stories of people investing in the lives of other people because they heard the story that if you follow me, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. At the end of those 3 years of ministry, Jesus goes to the cross to pay the penalty for your sin and for my sin. He didn't make it automatic, but he made it available for every one of us. If we'll surrender our life to him, he will forgive us and he will create inside of us that personal relationship with Almighty God. So he went to the cross. He paid my sin penalty and your sin penalty. He made forgiveness available, salvation available. And then he was buried. Third day he rose again to prove that he was exactly who he said he was. Almighty God who had come in the flesh. He walked the earth for another 40 days. And then as he was leaving, as he was ascending into heaven, he was standing on top of the Mount of Olives. And what you don't realize is we leave next Saturday, and in just a few days after that, there will be 36 people from here that we're going to stand on top of the Mount of Olives. And we're going to think about Jesus' last words as he ascended from the Mount of Olives. Look what he said to those followers that were there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He says, but you the believers, you the followers, shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be. You might be, maybe, depending on how old you are, depending on what you've got going. No, you shall be. It's guaranteed. You shall be witnesses to me. Think about witnesses. That's a legal term. Have you ever been in a courtroom? Maybe the good part of the courtroom. Or maybe you've watched some on TV. Have you ever seen somebody take the stand, they do the oath, and they're there as a witness, and they never say a word? A witness is there to share. That's their purpose. You shall be witnesses of me. It's not an option. It's not a choice. If you follow, you will fish. I want you shall be my witnesses. Those were the last words of Christ to his followers. Yet we've turned that into an option. We've turned that into it's right for some, but it's not necessarily talking to me, right? I mean, you know, staff, pastors, missionaries, people like that. Yeah, it's expected of you. But you know what? I mean, I'm just not going overboard on this stuff. He said, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. You will be my witnesses. And you take another step there and you think about the greatest believer in that first century, the Apostle Paul. He wrote in the book of Acts, or actually Luke wrote, but what he had heard Paul say. Listen to how important Paul wrote that sharing with other people was. In chapter 20, verse 24, he said this, My life is worth what? Nothing. We don't believe that. My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. The work of what? Telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Does that sound like it's optional? Somewhere along the line, for us, we give our lives to Christ. We want all the benefits that God will give to us without any responsibility. God, I want you to forgive me. God, I want you to come and live inside of me and change my life. God, I really want you to take me to heaven with you when I die. But I don't expect anything out of me. Don't require anything out of me. Just let me live my life. Paul said this, my life's worth nothing. If I'm not investing in people, whether I'm in the eighth grade or whether I'm 80 years old, there's no age differential here. This is written to all believers. Mom and dad, your children, this is to them if they're believers. And you should be teaching them and modeling this for them at home. My life is worth nothing. It doesn't matter how much I make. It doesn't matter where I work. It doesn't matter the house I live in or the car I drive or where I go on vacation. My life is worth absolutely nothing unless I'm investing in people. Unless I'm a witness, unless I'm telling other people the good news. Paul said, until sharing becomes a priority in our lives as believers, we'll never completely please God. We're living in a fantasy world to think that you can be happy without being all that God's called you to be as a believer. My life is worth nothing. We've got to get to the place where the things that matter the most to God begin to matter the most to me. And see, that's radically different than the way we live. Because what matters the most to you? The things that are important to you. And everybody's got a different set of things that are important to you. Maybe it's this, or your children, or your family, or whatever the case may be. But until the things that matter the most to God begin to matter the most to us, we'll never fully please God. For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about spiritual warfare and that battle. Remember, we've talked about the battle that the Holy Spirit and my flesh fight every day, and they're pulling in completely opposite directions. The Holy Spirit, who came to live inside of us when we surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants us to become like Christ. He wants us to honor Him, to please Him, to serve Him, to love Him. But my flesh, that old sin nature that still is inside of me, even though I'm a believer, is pulling me to be self-centered and selfish. And it's all about me, and it's what I want, and it's what I like, and it's what I feel good about doing. And if I don't like it, I don't have to do it. And they're radically different, pulling in opposite directions. And this spiritual battle that we've talked about now for the last 2 weeks involves sharing. Have you ever thought about that? Because Satan does not want you to share. And he doesn't want anybody to hear. He doesn't want you to care. He doesn't want you to talk to anybody about their relationship with God. He doesn't want you to have any part in somebody going to heaven. He doesn't want you to share, and he doesn't want them to listen. And this is what blows my mind. We live in such a success-oriented society. Think about your life, your world. I mean, it absolutely galls you for somebody to kind of just give a half effort, for somebody to be content to be a loser. You want to achieve. You want to strive. You want to get promoted. You want your kids to make the best grades. How many moms and dads say, "Listen, son, I just want you to work real hard and get the lowest F you can"? No, you don't do that. You expect the most of everybody. But why is it we can be so success-driven, but as a believer, we can be so content to lose this spiritual battle every single day? Wow. Does that make sense? It doesn't. When's the last time you're a believer? Answer this in your heart. When's the last time that you talked to somebody about their relationship with God? When's the last time? Can you even remember? Here's a bigger question. Does that bother you? Does it bother you enough to do something about it? Or is just being in church singing a few songs enough? Are you going to just check your box that you were here today? Well, I was around a lot of people. We got to see our graduates. Well, what a great day this was. Oh, I feel so good about it. Because you can be here and walk out of here without allowing God to change your life, and nothing will be any different today or any day this week. Golly, what is it? What keeps me from sharing? Have you ever thought about that? What is it in my life? What's going on inside of me that keeps me from sharing being important? Well, let's think about five things. Or is this an exhaustive list? No, there's probably more reasons, but let's just talk about maybe the biggest five. One, you know what? If I'm not a believer, I'm not going to talk to anybody about my faith because I don't have any faith. Am I going to talk to people about God changing my life if God's never changed my life? See, I think there's a lot of people, not just in our church, but in churches all over our area. Just because you're in church doesn't mean that you're a believer. And I think there are people that come to churches week after week after week for months and years. You go through motions, but God's never changed your heart and life. If you follow, I will make you a fisher of men. And I think one reason that maybe a lot of people don't talk about their relationship, it's because they don't have one. I think there's a second reason. Maybe you are a believer. And most of you probably are. You know, you can go back to, you know where you were when God convicted you. You know where you were when you said, "God, I need for you to forgive me. God, I need for you to be my Savior." You can remember that day. But for some reason, there's a disconnect between that day and today. You know, it's not that I'm not a believer, but things just aren't right in my life. I mean, if I'm not living a life that is representative of someone who's given their life to Christ, am I going to talk to you about a relationship and have you say, "What? Are you a believer? Oh, really?" We'll never say a word. Never say a word. You will just keep checking boxes on Sunday and never say a word because you don't have things right inside of you. Your outside has got to match your inside, and your life has got to match your words. And if my life's not right, then I'm certainly not going to talk about it. Oh, you know what? There's a lot of people that are genuinely believers that Satan beats you up over your past. Oh, I remember who you used to be. You can't talk to them. Man, they knew you in college. They knew you 5 years ago. They knew you when you were drunk and wild. They saw, they know. Yeah, and so because of your past that's been forgiven and dealt with, if you have, and allowed God to, but Satan will use your past and beat you up just to keep your mouth closed. Wow. See, there's a lot of different things that affect this. We talked about the things that are important to God being important to us. You know why a lot of believers don't tell anybody? It's not important. It's not a big thing. It's not my job. That's what we pay you to do at church. Oh, I get it. Yeah, yeah. Make sure you tell God that. Yeah, make sure you explain how that works to Him. See, the things that are important to God have to become important to us. But you know what I really think? This may be the biggest reason of all. You ready for this? This is theologically profound. I mean, this has words in it with more letters than you can even begin to spell. Are you ready for this? You ready? You can go to work tomorrow and brag that you know a theological phrase. Here it is. You ready? I don't want to. And bottom line, that's it. I don't want to talk to the people at work about God. I might offend somebody. I'm afraid of what they'll think. What if I say the wrong thing? So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and be content to lose the spiritual battle. Because it doesn't matter how good our excuses are. My best excuse for not saying anything to you will not change your eternity. You ever thought about that? The best excuse you've got for not talking to the person in the cubicle next to you or the parent next to you in the stands at the ball field or whatever the case may be, you keeping your mouth closed will not change where they spend eternity. Is sharing really that big of a deal? Eternity is in the balance. Are you content for somebody to go to hell because you didn't say anything? Does that bother you? We say it does, but talk is so cheap. Yes, that bothers me. I don't want anybody to go to hell. But the other side of that is, it doesn't bother me enough to say anything. Let's answer another question. Sharing is God's purpose for my life. But I wonder if this might not be part of my issue as well. I wonder, answer this in your heart. I wonder if I think somewhere in the back of my heart that everybody goes to heaven anyway. You know what? There's a lot of denominations that teach that. You probably passed a church on your way here, depending on where you live, that will teach we're all going to end up in heaven. You know, it's just maybe this route or this route or this route, but everybody's going to end up in heaven. Is that what you think? And if you've been in church any length of time at all, you know the answer to that is what? No, absolutely not. We know it's no, but we live like it's yes. See, we're caught up into this good thing. I think there's something inside of us that thinks that as long as, you know what, the kids that I'm in class with are good kids, or the family I live next door to, or the friends that I run around with, they're good people, you know? They're good people. I think we think that's enough. And we're not burdened over them. We're not broken over them because they're good people. They got a great family. They got a good life. They must be believers. Really? Is that how that works? Oh, folks, look what Jesus said. Pardon me. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. I think these are some of the most, I mean, when I read these verses every single time, my heart just kind of gets up in my throat. I think these are some of the most heartbreaking, the saddest verses in Scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many people are going to say to me, not a couple, not a few. What word did he use? Many people will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. They know how to talk. They know the church language. They've obviously been around worship at some time. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Look at all the good things they've done. We've prophesied in your name. We've cast out demons in your name. Pardon me. And we've done many wonders in your name. We are such good people. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. You know all the right words to say. You go through the right motions, but I've never come to know you as your Messiah because there was never that surrender of your life. I never knew you. And at that point, those people can't say, okay, all right, so I messed up, so I missed it, I was too busy, I was having fun, okay, I'll get saved right now. Doesn't work like that, does it? What's his next words to them? Depart from me. Not for a little while, not for another chance, but for eternity. Those people are separated from God forever. Good people. And somehow or another, we think that good people we don't need to talk to. Wow. See, it's not about being good. These people were so good. Look at all the things they had done. It's not about being good. It's all about surrender. It's not about joining a church. It's not about being baptized. It's about surrender. It's about realizing that I'm separated from God by my sin. My sin, Scripture says, separates me from a holy God. And until I'm convicted of that sin and call out to the Lord Jesus Christ, I need you to forgive me of that sin. That's why he went to the cross. He paid the penalty for my sin. And when I said, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for loving me. God, would you forgive me? Would you remove that sin from my life? And would you come to live inside of my heart? God, I want you to be my Father. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Messiah. I want you to live inside of me and change my life and make me like you. God, I give my life to you. It's all about surrender. And it's at that point, not being good, not being the top of your class, not being the boss at work, not living in the nicest house, but it's at surrender that the Almighty God comes to live inside our hearts and make us His child. How do you know? How do you know? Life change. If any man's in Christ, he says, I'll change your life. You're a new creature. The old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. See, a person who's made that surrender ought to be able to go back and say, you know, maybe I don't remember the date on the calendar, but I remember the surrender that I made when I said, God, I give you my life. Yeah, I know that you started changing my life right then and there. Have you made that decision? Could it be this morning that you're not busy investing in others because you've never come to faith in Christ? Could it be this morning that the message that you need to hear is not that you need to be a witness, but that you need to be saved? And I challenge you today, would you cry out, would you call out, and say, Jesus, I need you. If you're a believer, you know you've surrendered your life to the Lord. Steve, I'll be honest with you. I don't really even know. What do I say? I don't know how to tell anybody. Well, let me give you some just real simple things. Number one, if you're a believer, tell them your story. Tell them how you came to know Christ as your Savior. Man, condense it down. Don't do like the 30-minute version, but just give them the Reader's Digest there. You know what? Let me tell you about a decision that I made when I was 21 or 32 or 8. Let me tell you how God changed my life. And you know what? If that's just over the top for you, here's the easiest thing that you can possibly do. Hey, do you have a church you go to? Why don't you come with me? Hey, I'll meet you at the door. We'll sit together. Yeah. Hey, we'll go get lunch maybe after church is over. But would you come to church with me? How easy is that? You can do that no matter where you are. And I was in the dentist office this week.
You have a church to go to? Well, I'd like you to come to church with me.
It's so easy. If you will bring them, I promise you, there won't be a Sunday that I don't tell them how they can give their life to Christ. If you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. How long has it been since you've told anybody? Does it bother you? Does it bother you enough to change? Father, we love you today. God, it's such a privilege to be your child. Father, thank you that you're so clear and plain in your teaching in the Word, your expectations for us as your believers. And Father, I pray this morning that you have spoken into every believer's heart. Father, this is one of the areas where we are so lax in. It's not important to us. God, would you break our heart over our need to tell other people? That's why you left us here. That's why you want to use us. And my life is worth nothing, Paul said, if I don't use it telling other people. Father, I pray for the people that are sitting here this morning who've never surrendered their life to you. God, I pray right now, their heart is so broken, their heart is being so drawn to you. God, I pray right now that they would just call out to you in the privacy of their own heart. God, I need you. God, I want to give my life to you. Thank you that you died for me. God, would you be my Savior today? And Father, I pray that there are people, their children, their students, there's young married and senior citizens that are praying those very words right now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.